Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
I'd also like to point out that I think it's important for women, and it's something that I've gotten into in the last year. Self-defense is really important.
Sure.
And I think it elevates who you are within yourself so that you feel more confident and you're more situationally aware of what your surroundings are. You know, when you go outside to your car, are you looking around? It doesn't mean you have to live a paranoid life.
People are doing this.
Right. It doesn't mean that you have to lead a paranoid life, but it's good to be aware. And I've been pointing out some situations like you would think this way in this situation. Here's how I think. And it goes back to the whole scenario. Who would you rather confront in the woods by yourself, a bear or a man as a woman?
Yeah.
Most women choose the bear.
Well, unless you had Koberger with you because he had bear spray in his apartment. He did. Well, we're going to talk with Jennifer Coffendeffer about that in just a little bit. So stick around for that. The woman who had that happen, who had Koberger tapping on her windows, told police he also seemed to know things that he shouldn't. He addressed her by name, though she never told him. And wore no name tag. He made comments about her work hours, suggesting he tracked them. To her, it was clear he was watching her life. The second woman worked in the criminology department where Koberger was a PhD student. She was an undergraduate. She said he sought her out almost daily. She rejected him, even told him plainly she was a lesbian. It didn't matter. He continued. He was going to try and convert her. One night, she was working late. As she prepared to lock up, she saw him outside, staring directly into her window for their eyes to meet. He had to be deliberately looking in. When he entered the building, she panicked and hid in a bathroom until he left. Later, a neighbor warned her that someone had been right outside her window. Soon after, she learned that she lived across or very close to Brian Koberger. Let me ask you this. Was this, because this is an interesting one, is this an example of Koberger obviously not respecting anybody's boundaries, obviously not respecting anybody's life either? Is this Koberger trying to get control? And is this more of a control move than it is a sexual move? Because if he knows that she's a lesbian and she's not attracted to him at all, does he still think, I mean, is he running from the mindset of, I can make her attracted to me? Or is he running from the mindset of, I just want to control this person? It's nothing sexual about it. It's just pure control.
I bet it's both. I think this man operates from both of those perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants to control, and he can change the narrative.
Well, yeah. And maybe it doesn't matter what about anything about who she is as a human being. It's right. About him just consuming her for what he wants her to be. So she could say anything and it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. If he's attracted, that's all that matters.
Correct.
And controlling what he's attracted to is essentially the goal.
Yeah. And there's no permission given to these women. This is all about what he wants. And the women have no agency whatsoever.
Yeah.
You can just feel it.
She wasn't the only one. Another classmate remembered finding footprints in the snow outside her window. That's always comforting. The tracks had been backtracked as though the person wanted to hide where they began. So it's like, you know, we're doing that like as a kid. You walk in like, not backtracking, but walking in like the prints of like who's in front of you because it's easier in the snow. Yep. He kind of did that to himself, it looks like, wanting to hide where they began.
Kind of. The little kid in The Shining did that. Remember when he's out in the snow and stuff like that, and he wanted to get away from the Jack Nicholson character? He backtracked in the snow in his own footprints.
Add another one.
Ding, ding, ding. And we actually had a comment earlier that somebody thought that his first picture looked like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really good. She said she was, I think it was Orchid One, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the comment. It's great.
That's it's not surprising. I mean, it's early on, I think we were the first ones to call it here, where we said, it looks like he's trying to dress like American Psycho and nod to that and Psycho. And turns out several months later, we learned, that's exactly what he was trying to do by that initial shower photo that he took. He's a mimic of everything. He mimics other things. He pieces other things together. Some of it from real life, some of it from fantasy and fiction, and then lives it. That's his identity. It's all these pieces of little things. That's why I'm really curious about those pieces of picture, those pieces of paper. He was holding up with those numbers on it. Cause it's the tracks had been backtracked as though the person wanted to hide where they began. Another student reported someone trying to open their door again and again. Those reports stacked up. Women describing unwanted pursuits, intrusion at work, and fear inside their own homes. There were a lot of red flags here on this guy. A lot of red flags. But the problem, it seems, is nobody knew who was doing it for all that time.
But there were enough reports about him, you know, that somebody should have looked into him anyway, even if you take away some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Because you can't tie the two together necessarily. There was enough weird shit about him.
Yeah.
You know, the three of us have worked in radio, and radio tends to attract kind of similar people, like really talented people who are outgoing and creative. And then the really weird people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not wrong, am I?
Hey, no. Stacey, you want to have lunch?
What?
My name is Rob.
Lots of stories there. But again, what do you do when you are around these quote unquote weird people, the ones who are inappropriately touching you or inappropriately staring at you? There has to be a mechanism in our world where we can go into gear and say, okay, stop. This behavior is not okay. Mm-hmm. You need to stop doing this and advocate for yourselves. And I think a lot of times we just retreat.
There are mechanisms for it. It's called firing people. And then,
they come back and kill you.
Well, if it's not within the realm of employment though, either, I mean, you have to, it's setting up boundaries, but they don't respect boundaries. So it just depends on the setting. Really, because in reality, if it's in the business world, if you have a boss or somebody that's doing this sort of shit, it's what happens in the teaching world. It's called passing the trash. What happened in our world where we got the creepy motherfucker fired for all the shit he was doing years ago? Well, they fired him. There's not a whole lot any of us could do beyond that. We couldn't like prevent him from getting out further employment, which he did. It took 20 years later and we found out he was working in a school and we called the school and said, hey, by the way, this fucker's a little creepy. We got some stories for you, but you might want to watch the kids closely. But that's the thing. It's just they can keep going. And the way that it works in terms of hiring and firing people today, you are putting yourself up at a huge liability as an employer if you were to give a negative review or recommendation of somebody. because they could come back to you and say, well, prove it. I didn't get this job now because you said this negative thing about me. And then you got to go and deal with that. And you end up settling with somebody because they filed a frivolous lawsuit. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper to make them go away than it is to fight them in court over something of that. So the odds are stacked in the deck. The deck is stacked in favor of the predators. That's how our system works. That's outside terrible. Of an, and that's where you have some grounds to do something within an employment situation. When it's outside of that, it's the Wild West. Have your cameras. The best thing you can possibly do is have ways of documenting and figuring out who the hell is doing these sort of things. That could be as simple as putting a Ring camera up over your door, over your windows. If somebody's doing this shit, figure out who it is. There's ways of doing it or deterring them if they know they're going to be on camera. Should you have to do that? No, of course not. But guess what? There's nothing else you can do. Unless you're going to hire private security to sit on your property 24/7, and the police aren't able to sit there and do that for you.
Well, again, it comes down to protecting yourself.
Yes,
awareness. I carry, this sounds ridiculous, but I carry a knife with me at all times now. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to use it and what cuts are the best ones to do, you know, to get yourself out of a situation. It sounds horrible.
She also carries a flamethrower when she goes through Target, which is a little weird. They're like, ma'am, what's in the backpack? And she's like,
yeah,
that's what's up, bitches. And everybody just goes, okay, let her go. She's going over there. She's going to get, bottle of two buck chuck and let her be with her flamethrower.
I don't drink two buck chuck. But let her. I thought you knew me better than this.
She drinks Franzia.
Thank you. God, if it's not in a box, I don't drink it. So seriously, women especially, we need to be ready to defend ourselves. And it's horrible to have to think that way. But stack the deck in your favor. And that's what I do. I've got knives all over my apartment. It sounds crazy, but I'm newly single. I'm on a ground floor apartment.
Do you have a sword? Do you have a sai? Like the... Are you like Mulan?
Not yet.
Okay. I think you need to get them out one day, and we'll just do a camera pan of all your...
You can let the audience decide if it's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
As you sit there at your house all day and your cats are telling you, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Stacy, the cats are really not speaking to you. There's no telepathic. I mean, that's you saying that to you, thinking the cats are saying that.
Yeah, but on a serious note, we have to be ready to defend ourselves at any given time. I hope we never have to, but knowing how to do it, if some situation presents itself, that you can put up the biggest fight possible. That's what's important.
I agree. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, look, if there's a problem, you have agency.
Correct.
You do. You can't. And I think so many people just, it's they lock up. They don't know what to do. What should I do? Like, I can't. You can't control them, but you can control you.
Yeah.
And there are things you can do to be preventative, to be prepared. Well, I shouldn't have to. You're right. You shouldn't have to. And that's where a lot of people stop going, well, I shouldn't have to do that. Well, then go be a victim. Be a victim then. That's just your choice. You are choosing to be a victim if you choose to do absolutely nothing to try and prevent something you are concerned about for your safety.
We got a message from Dawn who said that the two-finger salute means victory.
No shit.
Well, that's even more frightening. Thank you, Dawn.
I'd be curious about the date on that specific one. You know?
Yeah.
Because we don't have the dates. We know that these were taken after the murders, but we don't know the exact. So it's within that window. But it seemed that whole window, he was kind of in that. I'm going to guess this was closer to the front end before he got super, super paranoid and was wearing gloves. Because this doesn't seem like the demeanor of someone who's, you know, moving trash to his parents' neighbor's trash can with surgical gloves on. This seems like he's got a little more confidence at this moment in time.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.